talk about funny shapes in nature?
You mean like clouds?
Sure, clouds, mm-hmm. but also trees and also plants and shrubs and anything else. Obviously, like clouds give us shapes all the time and they're ever changing. And
they do.
Obviously, those shapes are based on our perspectives.
It's true.
But I do love it when I wander into, I mean, I'm sure somebody somewhere is like, oh my God, look at this stone in the shape of a heart. I think it's Moira Rose. Look at this stone, David, in the shape of a heart.
I mean, there have been so many times when we've been in the desert, rock formations are also like, or the perspective of what you're looking at, depending on the shadows of the time of day.
Oh yeah.
Like when we were hiking in Mosaic Canyon, we saw what looked like the face of like the Scream from Scream. Like twice. So.
And that was Mosaic Canyon.
In Death Valley National Park.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we did see that. That was fun.
Yeah.
That was fun. I love it when things like that happen. Mm-hmm. You know,
thinking about like the Cholla Cactus Garden too.
Yes. And also known as teddy bear cacti. I mean, they do kind of look like that.
Yeah. And Joshua Tree. Mm-hmm. I mean, they definitely have like, and even Joshua trees. I mean, that was, you know, the Mormons thought the shape of the tree looked like the prophet Joshua.
Or hands reaching up to the heavens or whatever. You know, I do feel like we're always looking for meaning in nature around us, of course.
Well, I think it's pattern recognition. I think our brains are seeking. Yeah.
I, though, really appreciate when that pattern recognition is comedy, you know, and humor. Sure. Mm-hmm. And like, obviously, like it's a Joshua tree. It could be like hands reaching up to the heavens. It could also be like, you know, a Muppet.
Yeah, sure.
Or something like that. You know, I do love it when that happens. I think a memorable one for me is when we were in Petrified Forest National Park, there are definitely pieces of petrified wood that looked like other things.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, this looks like a weird experimental art piece from someone in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, or something like that.
Or,
you know,
in their freshman year of college.
Right.
Yeah.
They're like, this both things piece can overlap. Of garbage mm-hmm. is an exploration of how time affects materials.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Sounds like an art school answer there.
Right. It does. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And as somebody who went to art school, was that often the case? Or did the teacher see through that nonsense?
I mean, we always had to have like critique. And so, yeah, that was like kind of like people would BS their way through that. Like real hard sometimes. Like, well, I really thought that this is what I was trying to go for in the series of pieces. And it was like, was it? Was it really? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think you have that.
Can I? I'm going to give you a compliment right now. And that is that BSing your way through something. Like, I've never seen you BS your way through anything. Like, you're very honest.
This is where the veil comes off. And it's like, my entire life has been BS.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. No, but like, you care way too much about honesty and transparency than to, you know, be like, this piece of artwork that I don't feel confident. Like, you can't stand in front of a piece of artwork that you don't feel confident about and try and, like, project confidence about it. Like, that is not. That's not you at all in any kind of way.
Because you're not confident.
No, I'm saying like you put in the work so that you can be confident, so that you can say, this is what I was going for. This is what happened. And then if something, you know, went a different direction, then you can talk about it. But yeah, clarity all the way.
Yeah.
All the way. That's always been you.
Looking for adventure, I want to follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun, there's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national park.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
At the national park.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
At the national park.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
We would like to acknowledge that while hiking in Saguaro National Park, that we were on the traditional and stolen land of the Tone Odom, Odom Jued, and Hohokam people.
All right, so welcome to the last leg of a trip that we took in April of 2024.
And also welcome to the end of season 8. This is the
last park.
The last park of season 8,
that's
which
right.
If you listened to our trail map, we absolutely mentioned this park. And we definitely said we were doing episodes from this park.
It's true.
Uh-huh.
It's true.
Speaking everything of BFA.
Everything changes. Well, we do have a suite of episodes, so it's not our last episode.
No, but this is our
start
last
of
park.
The end.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah.
This was part of a bigger trip that we did that included, God, we did 4 parks in this 1 week. We did Guadalupe Mountains, Carlsbad Cavern.
Yep.
You can hear the episodes from those in last season. Mm-hmm. White Sands National Park.
Which we just finished talking about.
Right. You can tune into those this mm-hmm. season. Mm-hmm. We're always on the episode finder. They're all there. And now we're in Saguaro.
It's true. We are in Saguaro. This was quite a journey this week. And then we ended up with an eclipse at the end of it.
We did.
Some delayed travel and an eclipse.
Mm-hmm. Saguaro National Park is located in and around the area also known as Tucson National Park. We had flown into El Paso. Near El Paso is Guadalupe Mountains and Carlsbad Cavern. And then driving away from there, you can very easily get to White Sands.
Yep.
So this was the first kind of like big distance we had to go to get to a park after pulling in or flying into El Paso.
So after moving from the Guadalupe Mountains area, Carlsbad, New Mexico specifically, which is where we were staying, we spent a single day in White Sands National Park, then made our way to Tucson. So this was like kind of the third point on what would be a triangle, essentially, of our trip. After we hiked in White Sands, we dropped our friend, Becky Lomax, off, who was meeting one of her friends, not too far from where we were in White Sands. And from here, we had to drive 4 hours to Tucson, which is a pretty straight drive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like just one highway the whole way mm-hmm. there. We get to the Airbnb that we're staying in. It was in an apartment complex. And it was actually a pretty big place. We were kind of shocked at the size.
The bed was so large that we didn't even realize that there was another person on the other side of the bed. It was like a California king or an Arizona king.
Kind of. And by that, what you mean is like there was another person there in the bed when we arrived.
That's right.
No, but mm-hmm. I mean, it was huge.
Share B&B.
Oh my God. No, but I wanted to be CH.
Oh yeah. She'd
be
the answer to, you know, the fact that Airbnb is, you know, not so great.
I know.
As a company.
I know. They're
so Airbnb, we're looking for you.
That's right. If I could turn back mm-hmm. time, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know where I was going with mm-hmm. that. I got to draft that a little bit mm-hmm. more. But yes, it was.
I think Gypsies, Tramps, and Queens could be the logo song or the title song for it. Like, because you're moving through those spaces. Well, that was her lyrics.
I know. She doesn't sing it anymore for that reason.
Tipsies, Tramps, and Queens. That's it. So I think the theme song.
Maybe it's always playing whenever you come into a mm-hmm. Rental property.
I think the theme song for Airbnb would be Tipsies, Tramps, and Queens.
I like that.
Because
it could also be
drunk.
Tipsies, Vamps, and Queens. Mm-hmm. Vamps mm-hmm. could be fun too. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah. There was this is a 6 degree of separation back to someone named Cher. Look at us talking about Saguaro, but the
Saguaro. Cher.
We know the first word of the title of this podcast. But Cher being the name of Alicia Silverstone's character in Clueless, which was directed by Amy Heckerling, she also directed a lesser known movie called Vamps.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So there we
go.
It all ties back mm-hmm. together.
So anyway.
But anyway, this is where we were staying.
But anyway, our other roommate at the Airbnb that we didn't know was there. But we did get in. We got in, like, it was on the later side because of time change.
A large portion of Arizona doesn't acknowledge daylight savings. So it just stays in the same time the whole time. So it's in standard time. So sometimes that aligns with mountain time and sometimes that aligns with Pacific time. in this case, we were now an hour.
We were in Pacific time.
We were an hour earlier.
Yeah. So, which definitely just kind of threw us all off. But we did grab some dinner and come back and eat. And then we checked out. There was a hot tub on the roof, which we were able to just like enjoy for the evening. And it was nice after having hiked a lot that week already and kind of just been kind of moving and grooving. So it was a nice way to like just unwind. From there, we just turned in because we knew we were going to have a very early morning and B, a very warm day ahead of us.
So the next morning we get up, we hike early and often, and we head to Saguaro National Park, which if you're looking at the title of this park or the name of the cactus this park is known for, there is a G, but that G is silent.
It's like a W.
It's like a W. Mm-hmm. Saguaro is how it's pronounced. We drive to Saguaro National Park. We did make the choice this morning to do something we hadn't done in a while, which was
drive-through breakfast.
Yeah. Drive-through fast food breakfast, which was we hadn't done in a minute, but we did do it this day.
Yeah, we knew we were going to need the fuel because this was going to be kind of our biggest day of hiking here in Saguaro.
Yes. Yeah. We pull into the park. We immediately see all of the gigantic, enormous saguaro cacti. Mm-hmm. They are everywhere. They're lining all of the hills. They are huge. And, you know, there are mountains contained inside of saguaro. But of course, they are desert mountains. So they're not like Rocky Mountains or Appalachian Mountains. The peaks aren't as high, but they are still, in some cases, considered mountains. And they're all over these mountains. And we can see them just for miles.
This is the day that we did decide to do the largest hike in the park, which was Wasson Peak. And Wasson Peak is a spot with a number of trails that lead to it. And we looked at the map and we decided we were going to make this hike essentially a big loop so we could see as many of those trails that were leading to the peak as possible. It should be noted that Saguaro is basically split by the city of Tucson. So there's a West Saguaro and then an East Saguaro.
Yes. And we were in East Saguaro at this point in time, which is the larger area, but people go to both. So we get to the parking lot of where most people who hike Wasson Peak start, which is the Kings Canyon trailhead, not to be confused with Kings Canyon National Park. There are a lot of places and a lot of national parks that share names. Kings Canyon trailhead is one of the trails that leads to Wasson Peak here in Saguaro. We gear up to start the trail, and the way we were going to go, because we were going to do this hike counterclockwise, we were going to take the Kings Canyon trail all the way up this way, and then we were going to come back the Hugh Norris Trail, which means that to Wasson Peak from here would be 3.4 miles. And then in total, the loop all the way back to the parking lot would be 7.9, which means more miles on the way back, but it would be downhill. We were told that would probably be a really good direction to go.
So we set off on the King Canyon Trail. Immediately, this is a gradual uphill. It's not too tough, but it is absolutely an uphill journey. And we knew, because we were headed to a peak, that that was going to be the course of action for this day.
And since it was going to be 3.4 miles, we knew that there would probably be quite a bit of elevation gain at some point.
Yeah. So when we're walking, we are on a wider trail that is running parallel to a wash that's down to our left. And for the most part, we're here in a little bit of shadow because there is like a ridge line that's to our right. So it's not full sun at this moment in time yet. We actually have reprieve from that. Even though we were starting early, we were still in a little bit of shade, which was good. We are immediately thrust into this saguaro forest with other cacti and other desert plants as well, but there are a ton of saguaro here.
Yes, we are walking up the King Canyon Trail, not King's Canyon, King Canyon Trail. The wash down to our left is the King Canyon Wash Trail. They have very similar names and they run basically parallel and they're almost the same distance. So we are up a little higher, but it's a great view of everything. And we're immediately in sort of like rocky hillside.
Yeah.
And it's gently curving around sort of the trail kind of does a little bit of curve around some hill area as it runs along the wash.
As we're climbing, we're just, again, I'm fully living my life right now because we had done something that we had the pleasure of experiencing the year prior in Big Bend National Park, which we had arrived when there was a super bloom. So this was like an incredible sight to see, along with seeing the saguaro cactuses, which is kind of what, when you think of a cactus, it's sort of like the archetypal cactus. It's tall. It's got the arms that come up from it. Sometimes they're just single stalks, but a lot of the times there's arms that also rise out from the sides and follow that central stalk up. But everything is in a bloom right now. So it's beautiful. Definitely not having, you know, a good time as far as allergies go, but as far as the sights go, it was incredible. And the further along we're hiking, we can start to see in the distance what is Wasson Peak.
Now, as we do this, we walk about 0.8 miles and we hit a junction where we could veer off to the left because it intersected with the King Canyon Wash Trail. Finally, these two points met and we could turn left and head back to the parking lot if we wanted to, or we could get onto what is also called the Gould Mine Trail or the Sendero Esperanza Trail, which is the connector trail which would lead to the Gould Mine Trail, but we opted to stay on the King Canyon Trail and keep going. And so as we're hiking this 1.4 miles in and through, we're kind of like along a ridge. So while we're making our way up, it's not like a tremendous amount of uphill this time, but it is a gentle uphill. Then all of these blooms, all of these cacti are coming more and more into view as we do this.
So we get to a point where we finally leveled out and we hit another trail juncture, which was a little confusing for us because we knew it was coming based off the map, but it didn't really feel like it was the right amount of distance based off of, like, I think Dusty's pretty good of having his watch on that tracks distance. You know, our phones are doing that too. The watch is a little bit more accurate and we're like, this doesn't feel right. So there, we had a moment of what are we actually supposed to do?
Because we had already gone about 2.2 miles. We knew we were only going about 3.4.
Right.
And we felt like we hadn't gone that far.
Right.
And we were like, surely there's more trail that we have to do before we like turn up to like head to this peak. And with that, let's take our first break. Hey y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right, it's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season 1 is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails!
All right, Mike. So we're riffing the game The Vault. Are you ready?
Sure.
Okay, so we had to do a 4-hour ride, White Sands to Saguaro. The question is your road trip music. So it's a 4-hour trip, and you can only choose one artist's catalog to listen to the entire time on the 4-hour trip.
Mm.
Which artist do you put on shuffle, or like start with the first album or start with some album and make your way through all the way for the 4 hours? Because you only get to choose one.
Kenny G. No, I think it would probably have to be, I'd want a musician or a group that has like a lot of dichotomy where it's like their music is both fun, but there's some slower song. Like it's got to have variety throughout. So the first one that came to mind would be Lake Street Dive, because they've got a lot of albums. Mm-hmm. I think you could probably make it through at this point with the 4 hours
I
with
think
all
so.
Of their albums. And I think that you're getting like fun, upbeat, you know, brassy sort of funk music, but you're also getting some slower jams too. There's definitely sing-along songs there. If you don't know Lake Street Dive, that would be someone I would go beginning to end with. Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, what about you?
Immediately what came to mind for me was ABBA, because it's such a why not, right? I'm going to challenge myself to choose something other than ABBA. So, because we have done that. We've literally just put ABBA on shuffle while driving, and we put Lake Street Dive on shuffle while driving.
I feel like their catalog, though, is tricky. Like, ABBA Gold is great, and, like, their albums are great, but I feel like, I don't know, I feel like the greatest hits is really Mind Everything.
Oh, it has.
Except for If It Wasn't for the Nights, because that's, like, a sleeper song that came out of nowhere. And
that's a great song.
It's a great song.
That's a great song.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, if I'm in the car by myself, it is without a doubt going to be the Indigo Girls.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm a big fan of
you
them.
You do love
big
the Indigo fans. Girls.
Mm-hmm. And they are they're a catalog band. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, anytime you go to their show, they have changed the set list from the show before.
Sure.
Like, they don't just pick a set list to do the entire time they're on a tour. They they make it interesting for themselves every night because they know multiple people come to see their shows.
Sure. People come on multiple nights.
Yeah. Fans come multiple times to see them. So they want them to have a unique experience each time. Right. So the set list is different every time.
Mm-hmm.
So putting them on shuffle is kind of like seeing them in concert.
Sure.
You're like, you'd never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
They will always dependably do certain songs, of course. But yeah, that for me, that feels like a road trip. And I loved that in Barbie. Barbie was listening to them when she was finally driving a car.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Okay. So between Indigo Girls and Lake Street Dive, which could live in the same general world,
sure.
I think that's what we're picking.
Great.
Okay, so I just want to start off by saying, like, this is a really fun trail, and I remember this trail very fondly because there are so many memories that I have with it. No, but this is absolutely a trail I'd do again.
Yeah.
So we're standing here at the intersection of the King Canyon Trail and the Sweetwater Trail.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we had a moment where we were not sure if we needed to get on that Sweetwater Trail. Luckily, we did not, because that would take us fully to the other side of the park.
Yeah.
And not to Wasson Peak. And we were actually way closer to Wasson Peak than we thought.
Yeah.
Because we only had about 1.2 miles left.
But guess what? Lots of elevation.
Oh. Over the next 0.9 miles was where we gained all of the elevation with this park, with this trail, with this peak. So this trail is definitely gaining over 1,000 feet in elevation gain very easily.
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of it is about to hit us right in the face.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we don't get on the Sweetwater Trail. We start to make our way up this leg of the King Canyon Trail, which is immediately steep.
So right here we have our first of many fun bird sightings in this park. And it's quails.
That's
we
right.
love a good quail.
We do.
Mm-hmm. We've seen quails in other parks too.
We have.
Yeah.
But it's always fun to see them.
Yeah.
Because
and grouse. Quails and grouse are our ground bird
and
friends.
Grouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for those of you who grew up with the cartoon Doug, it's fun to see quails in real life because you can be Quail Man.
That's right.
Belt and put it on your head and wear your underwear over your shorts.
That's
your briefs.
Right. Yeah. And put the belt around. Yeah.
Yeah. I just said it.
That's right.
It's like a fascinator.
It is kind of like a fascinator.
Yeah.
And quail is technically the plural form of quail, but I like to just say quails.
Mm.
Yeah, quails. Mm. We saw quails,
mm-hmm.
and they're great. So what's great about this section that we're in right now is we are now getting a full view of the other side of this ridge.
Yep.
We had walked along the top of a ridge, and we're kind of turning like 90 degrees to the left,
mm-hmm.
and now we are on the side of taller hills, which lead to Wasson Peak, but we have to kind of make our way up the side of this mountainside in order to get to the peak. But to our right is just like this giant vista of like peaks and hills covered in cacti,
mm-hmm.
covered in bloom.
Yeah, and they are everywhere and they are huge. They're growing in all different sorts of directions. The cool thing about this is there are so many different shapes to these cactus.
Oh, yeah.
To these cacti, I should say. There was one that I remember seeing that was like sort of like hollowed out too, that was clearly a nesting space for a bird.
Yeah.
Because that is something that happens. Like yeah. cactuses or cacti become those kind of spaces for birds in the desert as a space to create a nest.
That's
so
right.
The shapes are really strange. Sometimes they definitely look like people contorted in very different shapes. And sometimes they look like a hand giving somebody the finger.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they look like those wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube mans that yeah. are outside of car washes.
Car washes. Yeah. They do, and, they look like know, everything. It's sort of like Gumby.
It is kind of like Gumby.
And it's like Gumby, but everywhere. And I think for my mind, cacti sort of, like there's a, because growing up in an area where there are not cacti and living in an area now where there are not cacti, I have an image in my mind of what a cactus is supposed to look like. Of like, it's got like a center part and it's got two arms that are coming out and like growing upward. But like, that's just not the case.
No.
Cacti can grow in whatever yeah. direction they want.
And they can have tons of arms. There were like a few that looked like tons. Crowns because there yes. were arms coming from like all different sides of them.
That's right.
Yeah. And we will get into cacti a little bit more this season, but I'm sure that the direction that their arms grow probably has something to do with the sun and yeah. where the, you know, the sun is the strongest.
And with water yep. and with mm-hmm. what they store, mm-hmm. all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
We also get a close-up look at the insides of a cacti because some of them have died.
Yeah.
And we get to see sort of like the rods and the sort of interconnected web
webbing,
of
yeah.
what is the yeah. inside of a cactus, which is amazing.
Yeah, we got
see.
Some of this on this trip too in Guadalupe Mountains. So like seeing kind of the cell levels and like how the structure is constructed on like a, you know, a level of the veins and things running through the plant is really, really fascinating. It's like the dissection of it by nature just from its demise and the fact that it is decomposing, it actually gives a very interesting view into the world of, you know, how cactus structure is and how different that is from a tree, because it is very different.
The other beautiful thing right now is we're getting to see the bloom on this side of this ridge,
mm-hmm.
which is just cascading down mountainsides, down hillsides. There are flowers that are pink, some are purple, some are yellow. There are daisies everywhere. We really like hit this park right at the right moment.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is the difficult thing to do. That's
yes,
like
yeah.
a, it's either there or it's not whenever you get there. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
we didn't choose these dates to go because we knew super bloom was going to be happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just happened to be there when we were there
yeah.
and we were so grateful.
Yeah. And so we're making our way up here and this is sort of like the initial part of the real heavy elevation.
The
and
climb. There, the big yeah. climb.
There are some straighter juts of this trail, but a lot of this starts to become switchback fairly swiftly. We are very happy that we are in our boots at this point because we are trudging. Like there is a lot of trudge happening here. In the distance above us, we do see another trail and we're curious if that is exactly where we're going to be heading.
Yeah, there's another trail sort of above us and it's like, huh, God, that's so high up. Mm-hmm. Are we getting there?
Yeah.
Likely yes.
Yeah, probably.
Typically it's
yes.
a yes.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have another animal sighting here, mm-hmm. which is
mule deer. Not
we
our first
some,
time.
Not our first time, but we do love seeing mule deer in the desert. We saw mule deer in Arches
we
on
did.
Your favorite hike.
Yep, Devil's Garden.
That's right.
It's true. Yeah, we were at a point where we had kind of paused on the trail and we were watching the mule deer sort of below us.
Yeah.
And trying to like figure out where to climb because they knew that we were there
yeah.
and watching. So it was trying to navigate the best way to get up from like the slope that it was on to the trail and then figure out where it was going to go. But this is a moment that we take to put on sunblock because it's early, but the sun here is very strong. And we wanted to make sure that we were appropriately covered because we were in shorts and tanks and t-shirts essentially. So we
and
are slathering it on.
Exposure.
Oh yeah. There's no
full exposure.
Just be aware that this is, there's no shade here. You
yeah.
maybe get the passing shade of a thin central trunk of a cactus, but that's about it.
That's about
yeah.
it. Yeah. When yeah. we do this, I did pause my watch because I was like, let me pause the watch because we're going to stand here. I think I like ate a bar or something mm-hmm. while we were doing that. And then we just knew that we had so much more. Again, this is 0.9. We've probably only gone about 0.4 at this
yeah.
point. And there's another 0.3 up at the top, but that is literally flat and on top of a ridge. But this sort of ascent on this backside of this ridge is slightly intense to very intense. And at this moment, we were like right in between those sections. So we put on some more sunblock and
took a breather and got some water.
Yeah.
And with that, let's take our next break.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage
Celine Dijon.
Celine Dijon.
And I am the greatest mustard in the world.
In the world.
In the world.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Come with me on this journey.
Mm-hmm.
While we eat mustard together. Me and you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just mm-hmm. us on this journey together.
Mm-hmm.
As you have pointed out before, Celine is the diva under which I was born.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Absolutely.
I feel like she and Whitney were the ones for me, mm-hmm. right?
Celine's your star sign and Whitney's your rising sign.
That's it.
Well, that's a fun game. What's your diva star? Your diva big three. For another time.
Oh my God.
For another time.
Okay. For next episode, yeah. when we come off of Wasson Peak, yeah. we're going to play that game.
Uh huh. Great.
So, Diva Star Signs.
Mm-hmm. Diva Big Three.
Diva Big Three. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Celine Dijon, I mean, it's got to be, there's no way she's not a Celine impersonator, but what do we do with the Dijon?
I mean, I think she is a pretzel queen. She is, all of her outfits are pretzel and mustard inspired. I feel like when I think of mustard, yeah, I get it for hot dogs, but I'm like a ketchup and mustard kind of person when it comes to hot dogs. Mustard for me is like, give me mustard with a soft pretzel. Like, I feel like she's got a lot of pretzel. She's got like chunky white jewelry that looks like big salt
pieces
crystals.
Of salt. She's got like a giant, like instead of the heart of the ocean, it's just a giant chunk of salt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, because it's Dijon, I feel like we need to lean into the French food of like fondue.
Well, I mean, also she's French Canadian, so it works perfectly.
It does work perfectly. Yeah. So enjoy this Dijon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. I want her to.
And she does a double act with Grey Poupon.
And also honey mustard.
Mm-hmm.
Honey mustard is her daughter.
It's a triple act.
It's a triple act.
Mm-hmm.
Grey Poupon is, I think, the drag king.
He's the drag grandfather.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly.
Yeah.
Who looks like Renee.
Mm-hmm. Oh, R.I.P.
I know, mm-hmm. but I feel like it works.
Mm-hmm.
Honey mustard could be their child.
Mm-hmm.
I want her to do Celine parodies of Celine music that is about mustard. That's what I want, right? What would we do? It's like she'd sing "Because You Loved Me" to a bottle of mustard, or what would "My Heart Will Go On" be? I think we could take like "Where Does My Heart Beat Now" to like "Where Does My Mouth Eat Now" or something like that, right?
Yeah.
With there's got to be mustard. It's food and mustard involved,
yeah.
but it is elevated and it's not like that neon yellow mustard.
No, it's like stone ground.
It's thank you. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. We know
the best kind of mustard.
The best kind.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're
or
not
spicy
messing.
Brown.
We are not doing like mustard from McDonald's.
Mm-mm.
Or from the ballpark.
Mm-mm.
No, we're doing elevated posh mustard.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's obviously her merch, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everything is sort of like decked out and opulent the way that she is in her home.
Mm-hmm.
So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage
Celine Dijon.
All right, so here we are. We're still on the ascent up to Wasson Peak. We've got less than a mile left.
Yeah.
After doing this section of the ascent, had forgotten to start the watch again, so I didn't know how much further we had to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I lost count and I lost the elevation gain.
Yeah.
So it was only based on like guessing and assumptions now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's super hot now. The sun is direct.
Yeah.
And you're hiking a little further ahead.
Yeah. And we are now in a section that is very switchbacky. So it would be to a point where I would get to the corner of the switchback and start up a little bit. And then as soon as you were below me, I would wait a little bit. You'd get to the corner and then I'd hike a little bit more is sort of what was happening here. But this is a point where we have reached a pretty high elevation and the sun is fairly high now, even though it's still early in the morning. And we are just trying to like kind of bust it out right now because we are in the grunt part of the trail where things have started to get, like, the grade is much more intense and there's a lot more elevation to gain in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
This is also a section where we are just continuing to see the incredible bloom that is all around us. And I just was so mesmerized by everything, including the poppies that we saw. Poppies, we'll put them to sleep.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's right. Mm-hmm. My Margaret Hamilton.
May she rest in wickedness.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that with love and peace. But the some of these poppies were some of them yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And they were not like the red poppies that you see all the time, but some of them were yellow. But I remember in this moment, I was full of rage. And
yes.
What's funny is I don't remember why. I don't remember why
I think
I was
you were hot and that's
hungry.
Hungry. I think you were just like, and tired. I think you were like, I hate elevation. I hate going up. And
I know.
You were like a pouty child. And I was like, oh, God.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, I'm not even going to try right now.
No.
I'm like, just going to be like, all right, kiddo, we're almost there.
Yeah.
There'll be orange slices at the top.
kind of. That's what I was feeling.
Yeah. You were definitely pissed. And I was like, oh, God, he's real mad.
And I don't, again,
I was just like,
I think it's just like,
oh, well.
Now I am in a different place with myself than I was in that moment. Mm-hmm. But now I like know that. I know when I'm doing uphill, like, oh, okay, great. So when I do uphill, I don't feel tired. I just feel angry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, okay, well, that's just normal process. So
yeah.
Like, now I'm much better about making sure that none of that gets projected anywhere,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Now.
I don't think I projected
but this
any
was 2024 and we'd been traveling together for so many years, so talk about projection. I just felt like a screen at that point.
Oh my God, I was exhausted. It was hot. It was so steep. It was so steep. Yeah.
Yeah.
As we're making our way up, we look and we're like, I think that's it right
so
there.
So this is a lot of false endings.
That's
this trail.
It yeah. right there.
False ending trails.
We get a small set of switchbacks. Mm-hmm. We're getting closer to the peak. And quickly we see...
lies. Yeah.
So many lies.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was like falsity after falsity.
Yeah.
And because everything looks like it could be the peak.
It's like a trail with like three or four endings.
Uh-huh.
It's very similar to
it's
Guadalupe
Return of
the Peak.
King.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because Guadalupe Peak in... Guadalupe Mountains was the exact same way. It was like, oh, I think this is the last little bit. Nope, you got like 3 miles left. It's not that much, but we definitely still have to keep climbing. And you are like flying into a rage at this point. Like, you know.
Now, but I want to describe tantrum. Sort of what it looks like. I'm not screaming and throwing a tantrum. Mm-hmm. What's happening is you're hiking ahead and I'm behind and I'm just like with every step.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like, that's, yeah, that was just how I was processing it that day.
Mm-hmm. That's the way it is. That's the way it is.
That's it.
That's right. And we just deal with it, you know? We are continuing our trudge up, and at one point we see some strange metal fencing unlike anything we'd seen in other parks.
We do get a photo of it. Yeah. We'll see it in the slideshow of this episode.
Yeah.
But it was... But yeah, it was there. It is a marker that says you are almost there.
Yeah.
Almost being relative.
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
at this point, another hiker like blows past us.
Yeah.
Going very fast. And I just was like, Godspeed. I can't go this fast in this uphill.
Yeah.
Because it sucks.
Mm-hmm. And we do make it to the last little bit of switchbacks here and encounter essentially a very long final stretch that leads us to the saddle. And another trail joins here.
Now, the saddle also feels like the end.
Yeah, no.
The saddle feels like you've reached Wasson
no.
Peak. But no, we hadn't. We basically hit a T. And if we go to the right, we go to Wasson Peak. And if we go to the left, we get on the Hugh Norris Trail.
Mm-hmm.
So we obviously want to go to Wasson Peak. So we turn to the right.
Mm-hmm.
And we head out the 0.3 miles, which is also a little bit uphill.
Yeah.
There's some uphill involved to go around to get up to Wasson
yeah,
Peak.
Yeah, to curve
which
around.
Which feels like insult to injury. It's like, let's get you up here to this saddle, which was royally tough. And now let's throw salt on
mm-hmm.
the wound.
Mm-hmm. So we... essentially take a breather here and figure out what we have to do to finally get up and arrive to where we need to go. And we make a curve essentially around. We can start to hear people that are above us, and so we're like, we're close, we have to be. And so we kind of curve around this wider set of trail, and that finally takes us up to essentially what is the peak, where there are
the like terminal point,
a dozen people at this point.
There's quite a few people up there who we hadn't seen before. We were like, don't know where they came from.
Well, they must have come up
Hugh Norris or some other way or something like that. So as we're taking photos, at that point, by the time we'd gotten there, I was like, all right, I'm feeling all right.
Yeah.
I'm feeling okay.
Well, because you hit the end.
I hit the end.
And all it was downhill at this point.
After that was going to be all downhill. So yeah, I was feeling a lot better. But the there were some other people there. We got to chatting with them. We were like, oh, okay, when did you come in? Where are you from? And it turns out,
basically everyone was from New Jersey.
Everybody was from New Jersey.
They're like, oh, I'm going to be in Ocean City, New Jersey next week. And I'm like, yeah, that's like an hour from me.
Yeah. And then somebody else was like, oh yeah, I grew up there. And like, there are people from New Jersey everywhere. Every time we're in national parks, we meet. I don't know that we've never not met people from New Jersey in a national park.
No, or people who know people from New Jersey.
Yeah.
And like, we were
visit all the time.
Virgin Islands. Like, and they're like, oh yeah, when I visit my friend who lives in Jersey, she lives right in Point Pleasant.
And I'm like, it's down the road from me. Point Pleasant from my house. Right.
Exactly.
So yeah. That was really fun. And then we knew, okay, we have a longer trek back, but at least the trek back was going to be downhill.
Yeah.
All right. I think we can put...
Canyon.
This is going to be technically a two-part episode, even though the next episode will have a different trail name for the title. I think we can put the King Canyon Trail up to Wasson Peak on the Karen Stone scale.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 7. I think that it's, especially because you're kind of immediately in incline, and that incline is gradual, but then as soon as you hit the hefty section of the trail past Sweetwater Trail, that junction, you're pushing yourself very heavily to get up. And the switchbacks plus the false endings definitely make it feel like a longer trail than it should. So a 7 from me. What about you?
I'm giving it an 8
because
of that section in the back end.
Yeah.
It's steep, short switchbacks, fully exposed. It was tough.
Yeah.
It was tough. I say that like, there are trails we've done that are tough that I never care to do again.
Yeah.
You'll never catch me on the Grinnell Glacier
Overlook
Trail off of the High Line in Glacier National Park ever again. Mm-hmm. Not once. But this was a trail I would
certainly do
again.
It's
it was really fun, and it's unlike tough. Anything else because of all the saguaro. And of course, the bloom helps too. So, 15 out of 20 Karen Stones. And let's end this episode with some Jeopardy style trivia.
Great.
All right. Mike, I will get us started today.
Great.
So, I was inspired by all the false endings of this trail. And so, this category is called Lies. So the way this works is it gets progressively more complicated as it goes on, of course, because the clues get harder. They're worth more points. But what you will do is I'm going to give you a statement, and then every answer you have to say lies, and then you have to say the statement again with the correction that needs to be made. Because I've stated something that
false.
Is not true.
Okay, great.
Ready?
Yep.
For 100. Stevie Nicks rose to fame as the lead singer of the Bengals.
Lies. Stevie Nicks rose to fame as the lead singer of Fleetwood Mac.
Correct. Okay. You get how this goes? Okay. For 200. Pablo Picasso is a 19th century German impressionist.
Lies. Pablo Picasso is a 20th century Spanish cubist.
There we go. Okay. For 300. Which I did know that. I mean, I have the answers here, but yeah. For 300, Romeo and Juliet is considered Shakespeare's longest play and is said to be inspired by the death of his wife, the actress and star of Princess Diaries, Anne Hathaway.
Lies?
Yes. Well, we know it's going to be lies.
Macbeth is considered?
Oh, no. What were you going to say before that?
Hamlet is considered to be Shakespeare's longest play, and it is inspired by the death of his son, Hamnet.
That is correct. Okay. Good job. No, Macbeth is not one of his longest plays whatsoever. Okay. I think it's one of his shortest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. For 400, Parked and Wrecked is a streaming series produced by Prime. It ran for 9 seasons, and it starred Kate McKinnon as Leslie Knope and also Andrew Scott.
Lies. Parks and Rec is a show on NBC that ran for 7 seasons and stars Amy Poehler and Andrew Scott.
There you go.
Yeah. Or Adam Scott, sorry.
But don't you want to see Parked and Rec? I'm parked and wrecked. That was me at the end of this trail. Parked and wrecked. Okay, for 500. In the 1970s, pterodactyls were placed on the endangered species list because the shells of their eggs became too soft, which was revealed to be caused by the consumption of microplastics and is detailed in Rachel Darwin's tell-all book, Loud Winter.
Lies.
In the
1970s, bald eagles were placed on the endangered species list because of DDT, and they were and this was documented in Rachel Carson's book Silent Spring.
Rachel Carson's book Silent Spring, right? Which is not Loud Winter.
No, Loud Winter is great.
But yes, mm-hmm. Correct.
Great,
nailed it.
Great, that was fun. Okay, my Jeopardy was inspired by the term super bloom, and I called it super duper. So this is just you're going to need to give me the term that has super as the starting word, essentially.
Okay, great.
So not as creative as lies. But for 100, this term, which may mean extra, extra large, was also part of the title of the 2004 Morgan Spurlock documentary about eating McDonald's for 30 days straight.
What is supersize me?
Correct. Well, supersize is the word.
He's no longer with
us. He's not, no. Mm-hmm. For 200, this term is a way to describe these bands, Cream, Velvet Revolver, The Traveling Wilburys, and Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, which are made up of already established and popular musicians in their own right.
Oh, what is a supergroup?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yep. I don't care what my teachers say.
I'm gonna be a
blank, and everyone is gonna dress like me. Wait and see when I'm a blank, croons Jill Sobule on the Clueless soundtrack, which could also describe Naomi Campbell, Linda Evangelista, or Cindy Crawford.
What is supermodel?
That's correct. For 400, this term could be used to describe Sherlock Holmes, Hercule Poirot, or Olivia Benson.
What is a super detective?
I'm looking for another word for detective.
What is a super cop? Mm-mm. What is a...
starts with an S.
Super sleuth.
That's right. And for 500, this term is a highly reactive oxygen species produced by the one electron reduction of molecular oxygen.
What is a super amoeba?
Think about oxygen.
Read it again.
This term is a highly reactive oxygen species produced by the one electron reduction of molecular oxygen.
So it's an oxygen species?
So what would something like if when metal rusts, it does this?
It turns color.
But it does this. It's a specific scientific term.
It oxidizes.
There you go. So it's a super what?
A super oxidant?
a super oxidant?
A super oxide. Oh, a super oxide.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fun. Okay, I didn't know that. That's great. That's great.
And that's super duper. Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Justin Dallard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeattheNationalParks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeattheNationalParks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sclios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.